Turn your Bibles. We are ultimately going to be looking in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. And as you're turning there, everyone's familiar with Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison was the guest of honor at a banquet. The master of ceremonies mentioned his many inventions, dwelling at length on his marvelous talking machine. The aged inventor slowly rose to his feet. He smiled and he said gently to his audience, "I thank the gentleman for his kind remarks, but I must insist on a correction. God invented the first talking machine. I only invented the one that could be shut off." Amen. Thomas Edison, he was quite a character. This morning, I want to talk about a life straightened out. Now, this particular life was that of a lady that had been in bondage to satanic demons. And yes, I want us to all to understand that demons are real. Amen? But I do want to separate what Hollywood and what TV calls demons from what the Bible declares as a demon. And the Bible gives us many, many examples of demon-possessed people throughout the Scriptures. They are commonly called, these demons are commonly referred to in the Bible as unclean spirits. They're called evil spirits, seducing spirits, demons, devils with a lowercase d. All these are different titles for the same individuals. Demons are simply fallen angels that have chosen to follow Satan in his rebellion against God. The Bible says that Satan deceived and took with him one-third of all the angels that were created. There's still two-thirds of all the angels that are faithful and holy and stick by God's side and do his bidding. The word angel literally means messenger. So when we understand fallen angels, demons, these unclean spirits, they are Satan's messengers. Amen? Just so we understand what we're talking about. They are Satan's minions who, simply put, they try to blind the minds of unbelievers from receiving the light of the gospel, from receiving the light of Christ. They deceive the world through false teaching and false preaching, false gospel. They battle believers. Many times, believers fall under demonic attacks. Now, I want to stress that a believer cannot be indwelt, cannot be possessed by a demon, but we certainly can come under a demonic attack. And they also possess the unsaved, causing physical, mental, and just a number of disorders. Now, I want to touch base before we go to Luke chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 22, give an example of a scripture talking about a demon-possessed individual. "Then one was brought to Jesus who was demon-possessed, blind and mute. And Jesus healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw." Another great example is in the book of Mark chapter 5. The Gospel of Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 1. "Then they came to the other side of the sea, the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat," speaking of Jesus, "immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken into pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and he worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and he said, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me.' For Jesus said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered him, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also he begged Jesus earnestly that Jesus would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine, a herd of pigs, was feeding near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine, that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Now, if you have your Bibles in Mark chapter 5, you want to mark this important piece of scripture. And the reason why I say that is because here in Mark 5 is the first mentioned anywhere of deviled ham. Deviled ham, Harley. You get that? All right, just making sure. So this morning, I want us to focus on one particular lady in Scripture. And that's where we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 13, Gospel of Luke chapter 13. And as I stated earlier, this particular lady, she had been in bondage, this demonic bondage, for quite a few years of her life. A bondage that caused her physical disorder. We're going to pick up in Luke 13, skipping down to verse 10. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. And he said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, shouldn't she be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. So this morning, the first thing I want us to consider, I want us to consider her condition. So we're told here, right in verse 11, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. Now, we need to understand what an infirmity is. According to Noah Webster, Webster's Dictionary, an infirmity is a physical, mental, or moral weakness. That's an infirmity. Now, the Bible gives us a little more information here. It says that she had a spirit of infirmity. So what that is telling us, that her physical, her mental, or her moral weakness was caused by a spirit. Bottom line, what the Bible is telling us here, that this lady had an evil spirit in her, possessing her, that was causing her great physical harm. Now, we skip down to verse 16. We're given a little bit more information. Jesus said, "So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham," and here's the key part, "whom Satan has bound." Here we see the root cause of her infirmity. The Bible tells us here that Satan controlled this lady's life. Satan was the one that caught hold of her. He sent his minions, his demons, to twist her life, to just warp it and to tie it all up. This demon caused her to, the Bible tells us, to be bent over for 18 years. That's a long time. Everywhere she went, everything she did, she had to do in that horribly bent over condition. Can you imagine how hard it had to be for her to try to get around, to do just the simplest tasks in that condition? There's no doubt she had to wander aimlessly from time to time, not being able to clearly see where she was going in that bent over condition. What we need to pick up, what we need to glean from this passage and from this lady, is that she is actually a perfect picture of all mankind apart from Jesus Christ. She's a perfect picture of all people who are unsaved, undone, apart from Jesus Christ. Spiritually sick. Without Christ, we are all lost. We are all blind spiritually. We wander aimlessly up one blind alley and down the under. Up the blind alley of alcoholism. Down the blind alley of drug abuse. Up the blind alley of broken relationships. Think about the mess that our lives become when Satan is in control. And we see in verse 11. And she was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. She was helpless and she was hopeless in that current condition, in that bent over condition with Satan controlling every aspect of her life. Now, there's no doubt, just like any one of us, this lady must have tried everything that the world has to offer to help her condition. Now, I want us to think about for a second, without Jesus Christ, if we only had the world to turn to, let's think of some of the things that we may have turned to. And the first route, without a doubt, would have been medication, right? She, just like most of us, she probably turned to medication as her first resort. She probably saw every specialist and tried every treatment of her day. She tried every medication available to try to straighten her life out. Listen, we need to understand something very clearly. There is no magic pill for a spiritual condition. Amen? Now remember, this lady had a spirit of infirmity. It was a spiritual condition. Prozac and Vicodin are not magic pills for spiritual conditions. Amen? Now I understand that there are a lot of legitimate medical conditions out there that require medication. I'm not saying that all medication is bad, and some of it is a necessity. But what I'm talking about is those spiritual conditions. Many of today's issues, many of today's mental issues can be cured by a different pill. The gospel. Amen? The word of God. Plain and simple. By repenting and getting right with God through Jesus Christ, we can get rid of a lot of spiritual infirmities. Amen? A lot of times we fail to give Satan the attention he deserves. The Bible makes it very clear that his minions, his demons, his evil spirits can cause a number of physical and physiological conditions. Deafness, blindness, dumbness, mental disorders, violent behaviors. We read in the Gospel of Mark chapter 5 that man possessed not just with one demon, That demon said his name was Legion. In Bible days, in the days of Jesus, a Roman legion consisted of about 2,500 to 5,000 men. That's an indication that man was possessed with at least 2,000 demons, because we know there were 2,000 swine that they were cast into. And that man was bound with fetters and chains, and he broke them off as if they were paper mache. Violent behavior and abnormal strength, convulsions, seizures, and physical deformities, just like this lady bent over for 18 years. Demon possession is real, and it's a real problem today. You turn on the news and you hear just horrific events. Children killing children. Moms killing their own children. Increasing number of suicides and child abductions. These are not actions of normal people. These are actions of people controlled by Satan. Listen, we need to be able to recognize demonic possession in people other than just our mother-in-laws. Amen. Listen, if you are not saved, if you are not born again, if you don't have God's Holy Spirit in your heart and in your life, then you are at risk for demonic possession. Medication is not a cure for a spiritual condition. Medication is not a cure for a spirit of infirmity. Having Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit inside of you is the only defense. Amen? What else could this lady have tried? Well, no doubt medication was first, but maybe next she tried education. Maybe she thought that she could become educated and educate herself to be able to live in her condition. No doubt, advancements in science and technology, it's made life a lot easier for those with physical needs, without a doubt. Education, training, therapy, all these things are inherently good. There's nothing wrong with any of them. However, none of them are a cure for a spiritual disease. Amen. This woman, she could have gone to college and could have earned more degrees than a thermometer, but it wouldn't make a difference. She and anyone else is still spiritually sick without Christ. Amen. Anyone apart from Jesus Christ has an incurable spiritual disease left alone. Medication is not the answer. Education is not the answer. Neither would be finding an occupation. She could have tried to find a job that paid a lot of money. We need to understand that to work is a God-given obligation. Amen? The Bible makes it very clear. God says, 6 days are we to work. One day, the Sabbath, is our day of rest. But the other 6 days, we are to work. It's a God-given obligation that we have. Work gives us a sense of purpose. It gives us a sense of accomplishment. It also gives us an avenue, a means by way we can support our families. Amen? Work is not inherently bad. It's good for us. However, even if she were able to earn millions of dollars, she would still be left bent over in her spiritual condition. She would still be left physically deformed with a spirit of infirmity, no matter how much money she could earn. All the money in the world cannot cure a spiritual disease. It's clear that this woman didn't need medication. She didn't need education. She didn't need a new occupation. What this woman needed more than anything else is the same thing that we all need more than anything else, and that is salvation. Amen. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. She needed Christ in her heart and in her life, the one and only cure for a spiritual disease. Jesus is the one that can straighten a life